It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Please have your Bible ready today as we look into the book of Matthew. We're going to start there in chapter 7, the book of Matthew. You may not realize it, but there are people today who are religiously lost. And what do I mean by that? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to study about today, religiously lost. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 7 with verse 21. We're going to read all the way down through verse 29. Verse 21 starts by saying, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Now, of course, this is Jesus speaking here. He's talking to us, and he's letting us know, he's giving us some instruction here. But notice now, he says about the wise man who built his house upon a rock. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Well, being religiously lost means that religion is not the same as salvation. Religion is any system of beliefs that, about God and the expression of these beliefs in attitude, worship, and behavior. Salvation, on the other hand, is deliverance from sin and its consequences. And that's coupled with the sweet, heaven-born assurance of oneness with God. It's knowing you're saved and on your way to heaven. Religion and salvation do not necessarily go together. Nicodemus, who was a cultured Pharisee, he was a teacher of religion. This man was the embodiment of highest moral and ethical standards. Well, he came to Jesus, and yet Jesus looked at him and said in John chapter 3, "Ye must be born again." That's John chapter 3 and verse 7. He was a religious man. We see also the men who crucified Christ. They were profoundly religious, but they were lost. Paul the Apostle was never more religious in his merciless persecution of Christians. He thought he was doing the things of God, but he had the zeal without knowledge. And you might want to read Romans chapter 10 and verse 2 in connection with that. And the pagan in the jungle is more deeply religious than most of us, as he sacrificially seeks to appease the supposed wrath of some loveless deity. The Bible speaks of pure religion and undefiled in James chapter 1 and verse 27, and commends this outward expression of devotion to Christ. Well, we also see the Bible speaks of religion without salvation in Matthew chapter 7. You read once again, and we've read this, verses 21 through 23. And of course, this is talking about deceiving the soul to its eternal undoing. Now, there are three sobering pronouncements with which the Lord Jesus concluded the Sermon on the Mount, and this is carried in the message. First, to confess religion, or in other words, when we confess that we have religion and we get confused. To confuse religion with salvation is a common mistake. Jesus said in verse 22 of Matthew 7, he said, many will say to me in that day, and notice this, the nominal Christian who goes through all the motions of church activity is this person who comes to Christ at the end and says, Lord, have we not done all these things in your name? And he says to this person, many will say to me in that day, and they will say these things to me, he said, we've done many wonderful things in your name. Well, there was an evangelist of wide experience. He tells of the most surprising conversion he ever witnessed. At the conclusion of his message in a large church where he was holding meetings, he gave the usual invitation to Christian commitment. In other words, he said, if you are without Christ, won't you come forward and receive him tonight as your Savior? A middle-aged woman came forward in deeply emotional response. He recognized her as the president of the Women's Missionary Society of the church, and as president of the Women's Missionary Society, the union of that state. She, in other words, she was in charge throughout the state. Well, the story goes on how that he was baffled that such a prominent person in the name of religion or Christianity could come forward. She went on to explain that she had grown up in the church, she had received baptism in her childhood, and she had been active in leadership for years, but she had never personally come to terms with Christ as the Lord of her life and Savior of her soul. She had never been born again. She had never had more than religion. There is a great difference between religion and salvation. As we look further into the Word of God and further into the moralist and into these people who give their excuses for religion instead of salvation, I see the moralist who formulates his own plan of salvation and stakes his destiny on the expectation of salvation without a Savior. In other words, I'm as good as anyone else. If anyone else is going to heaven, then I'm certainly going there because I'm a good person. Well, God says unless you've asked Jesus into your heart, you're not going to heaven. And the person may say, I'm already a Christian. Well, this one says that, not realizing that a saving faith is a necessity to the response of a person to person, the person of Jesus Christ. We see the person who also says, my religion is the golden rule. But suppose he lives 1,000 years without injury or offense to others. When all have died, there remains the Eternal One to whom he has never related himself. You can be as good as you want to be to your fellow man, but unless you've received Jesus as your Savior, you're not going to heaven. Then that person who says, I'm not good enough to go to heaven and not bad enough to go to hell. Well, the answer is best expressed in the words of Jesus when he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And that tells me that there is a place prepared for everyone. Then we see the person who says, I'll take my chances. I live a clean life. I treat everybody right. And you know that he's not taking chances. He is destroying the one and only chance that he has. That chance is a sure, perfect way, the only way to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard someone say this? If I go to hell, I'll have lots of company. Yes, there will be many, says Jesus, who go to hell. But when we look at that company of people, what a company it is with whom to spend eternity in that wretched abode of the doomed, that cesspool of depravity with this aggregation of filthy human degenerates from whom the Holy Spirit has forever subjected to the power of the evil spirits there. Well, those evil spirits, we often think of them tormenting people. They're going to be tormented just like the people who go there, the human beings. They will be tormented. And so will those who turn their back on Jesus Christ, those who are trusting in their religion. In other words, they're trusting in themselves in order to go to heaven. They're trusting in good works. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he saves us. And you read Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, verse 5 through 7, and the book of Titus, and it talks about this. To confuse religion with salvation is a dangerous mistake. Verse 21 of Matthew 7 says, not everyone shall enter into the kingdom. It may blind the unbeliever to his real need. In other words, religion. The virtuous Pharisee and the guilty publican, as we look at this, we see a person who had religion. This would be the Pharisee and the guilty publican. We think of the publican who actually was a saved person. He said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Religion can blind the unbeliever to his real need. That publican in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, and that Pharisee. The Pharisee said, I thank you, God, that I'm not as other men. In other words, he was a self-righteous person. And then we read of that publican I've already mentioned who stood over, and he was away. He got away from this Pharisee. He was by himself. Nobody would have anything to do with him. Well, that was there's no one but the Lord Jesus Christ. We read of this man as he stood over. He would not so much as lift his eyes, but he smote on his breast, and he said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. When a person gets to that point in their life, they have passed from religion, and they are very close to the one who wants to save them. God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I can't save myself. I'm a sinner. And I need you as my Savior. When a person gets to that point, when they want to receive Jesus Christ, he says to as many as, as come to me and I receive, I will no wise cast them out. But when a person gets to the point of realization that they need Jesus as Savior, he said, I'll take you. I love you. I don't care how bad you are. I don't care how good you are. You're not good enough to go to heaven, Jesus says, without me. And you're ready to receive me as your Savior, and I'm going to take you. I see something else. To confuse religion with salvation is an unnecessary mistake. In verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7, it says, he that doeth the will of my Father. Well, what is the will? The will of the Father is to receive his Son. Once again, as I've already said, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called or to become the sons or the children of God. If you want to go to heaven, then you must have salvation. You must come God's way. If you only have religion, you're not going to heaven. Religion is totally different from salvation. Salvation is a personal experience with the Lord. Salvation is saying, Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. Salvation is a relationship with God. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you receive him as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you'll trust Jesus to come into your heart and you receive him, you will be saved. The Bible says, once again, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons or the children of God. If you'll say, Lord, I know I can't save myself. I want you as my Savior. If you'll be willing to turn to him and receive him as your Savior, the Bible says that you will be saved. Ask him to come into your heart. Trust him. Mean it in your heart, and he will save you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.